welcome to our Sunday service this morning. We welcome Michael Wakelin as our leader today and to lead us for the Harvest Festival service. Any more donations can be brought forward during the first hymn. The food and money donated will be divided between Hazel Grove and Hazel Grove Food Bank and Wellspring in Stockport. For money donations, there's a basket for cash over there, and if you haven't got the cash, we can use the machine. And also a reminder for signing up for the lunch on October the 15th for when Jan Weissman's here for our service. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's lovely to be back in Poynton with you for your Harvest Festival this morning. I haven't done a Harvest Festival for about 12 years. Strange, but it's a lovely time of year, and we'll be celebrating that in our hymns and in our worship and in our thinking. And shall we start our service this morning with the classic Harvest Festival hymn, "We Plough the Fields and Scatter."
Thank you.
What beautiful pictures to go with the words during that hymn. Thank you for those. And so to our prayers of adoration and thanks and confession, let us pray. O God, who called all life into being, the earth, the sea, the sky are yours. Your presence is all around us. Every atom is full of your energy. Your spirit enlivens all who walk the earth. With her, we yearn for justice to be done, for creation to be freed from bondage, for the hungry to be fed, for captives to be released, for your kingdom of peace to come on earth. And at this harvest time, we thank you for all that you have given us. Wonderful food, fruit, vegetables. We thank you for our fabulous countryside and our capricious weather. We thank you for health and hope, for beauty and bravery, for laughter and love, for friends and fellowship, for children and parents, for grandchildren and grannies and granddads, for small wonders and big ambitions, for anticipation and fulfillment, for passion and peace. We know you love us, and you know how much we love you. May that covenant continue to be blessed. But Heavenly Father, we also know how much we let you down. And we confess those frequent times when our soil has been stony, too hard to value the tiny seed, the generous smile, the heartfelt word. We confess those frequent times when we have been stony ground, too hard to see beyond our selfish desires, and for tacitly accepting a world that smothers the dreams of those with less power and wealth. Creator God, once again you have planted the seed of love in our hearts, in our souls, in our lives. And we draw near today in the knowledge that your forgiveness waters the seed and nurtures us with the power of your Spirit to grow, to flourish, and to bear the fruit of your justice as we prepare ourselves for your harvest of our souls. Amen. Let us say together the prayer that Jesus taught us and made us bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Let's sing together another hymn of thanks for God's gorgeous creation. Give thanks.
Thank you.
It's now time for our readings, but just to sow a seed of thought in your mind, I want to be finding out perhaps if you've got an unusual favourite food that you'd like to share with us in a few moments' time. I want to show you mine. It'd be interesting to know if you've got something that you're particularly fond of, which is a bit unusual, so not fish and chips. Our reading. This is a reading from Genesis, which Anne's going to read for us, which is all about God's promise to Noah.
The Old Testament reading is Genesis chapter 8, starting at verse 15. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it." So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds. Everything that moves on land came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Amen."
And our New Testament lesson is taken from Matthew's Gospel, and it's some very comforting words of Jesus.
The New Testament lesson is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. And is entitled, "Do Not Worry." "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks very much. So, anyone got any interesting favourite foods they'd like to put their hand up and share? Liking fish and chips is okay, it's just not very interesting. So, I spent 2 years of my life in South Korea, which is a long way from here, And I went there when it was very, you know, not like it is now, shall we say. They still ate dogs back then. I remember seeing a dog being grilled. It was a bit unpleasant. However, they've sorted all that out now, and they love their dogs. They've really changed since the Olympics. But when I went there, no one had ever heard of Korea. All my friends didn't know where it was. They all thought they ate yak. And it was an absolute mystery to me. I had no language, and I got out there, and I was just flung in the deep end as an English teacher in a Methodist college, actually, in Taejon. And it was a very tough start for me, not least because of what's in this bowl here. All of Korea smells of this stuff. Has anyone here heard of kimchi? Yay, well done. It is extraordinary. I'm tempted to pass it round, but I don't want anyone to feel not very well, but maybe you could smell it afterwards. It's very, very strong. And when you're on the buses in the morning and everyone smells of kimchi, because they eat it breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it's spicy, it's hot, it's garlicky, and it is, in fact, kind of rotting cabbage. But they have it with everything. They have it with everything. And they always test foreigners out because they think foreigners are all going to hate it. And when I first started, I didn't like kimchi very much. But then one morning I woke up and thought, I want some kimchi for my breakfast. And then I knew I'd really landed in Korea, and I was very much happier once I'd got used to this extraordinary stuff. So now, I mean, ever since then, all my girlfriends, before I got married, always take me to Korean restaurants. Jackie, my wife, came to a Korean restaurant with me and liked it, so I thought, well, she's okay. My children all love Korean food, and if ever we want to celebrate anything, we go for a Korean meal. And it is extremely... I think I'm going to put the lid on. But do come and smell it afterwards. It's a blessing, kimchi. It really is a wonderful thing. It's very good for you. And now, if you get BBC Good Food magazine, or, you know, you go to fancy restaurants, there's kimchi all over the place. But no one had heard of it when I first came back home anyway. So I want to offer this to the harvest table. I don't think we're going to take it to the food bank. I'll take it home. However, this is the real McCoy, and you must come and say hello to it afterwards. So that was my favourite food. Anyone putting their hand up for a favourite food yet? Not tempted you? No. Okay. Another thing I want to add to the harvest festival table is this. It's an aubergine, as you all know. And it's one example for me of God's excessive generosity and his excessive love for us. There is no reason that I can think of, someone here might know, why on earth an aubergine should be such a beautiful colour. Does it attract anything? I don't know. This could have been grey, couldn't it? I mean, why not? But no, God made it purple, in such a beautiful purple colour that you have to really study it to see it. But I love aubergines, I like eating them too. But I think it's just a sign for me of how much, how God goes beyond. He doesn't just give us the basic, he goes beyond and makes something like an aubergine so beautiful. And the third thing I wanted to bring and add to the table is a familiar looking object. Because I just imagined what it would have been like being an early explorer, Christian missionary, going out to a hot country, thinking that, gosh, this is very alien to me. I don't understand what's going on here. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? And then suddenly finding a pineapple. When did you last bite into a pineapple, a piece of pineapple? It floods with juices, doesn't it? Another sign for me of God's incredible inventiveness and generosity and going beyond to show us how much he loves us, the humble pineapple. I may take this home with me at the end because I don't think it goes to the food bank, but it's a wonderful thing. So I want to bring that to celebrate God's creation and harvest at this time. No one's got an interesting food for me?
Can I just say,
oh, yes.
It is so juicy, it's quite ugly.
Yes.
It doesn't look appealing, it doesn't fit.
No.
The side is known out, and you judge it by the outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You wouldn't think yum yum, would you?
No.
No. It's a wonderful thing. Did you have a favourite food?
Yes, when I was very young, we were still rationing.
Yeah.
At the end of the month, what we used to do, we used to make a Yorkshire pudding.
Ooh.
And put what butter we had, and sugar, and marmalade inside it.
Now we're talking. Did you hear that? Yorkshire pudding with butter and marmalade. That's very good indeed. I'm a big fan of Marmite. I put Marmite with almost anything. Marmite and marmalade is quite a nice mixture, actually. That's a great favourite food. Thank you very much. All these wonderful things we can thank God for at harvest time. Yes. Chicken? Yeah, but they probably are quite nice. Yeah, I haven't gone there myself. Chicken feet. I suppose they're probably quite crunchy. Yeah. Sorry? Yeah. You take. Oh right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Very nice. Put those on the harvest table too. Okay, we're going to sing an old favourite. I didn't decide, but normally I put down which tune I want for these hymns, but I've left this to the good organist's own imagination. We're going to sing All Things Bright and Beautiful together, and then I want to share some more thoughts about harvest. When I was at Songs of Praise, that was the most argued over hymn tune. It's got two others, hasn't it? All things bright and beautiful, all creatures. There's another one as well, isn't there? Oh, fisticuffs over that one. That's a lovely tune. Thank you very much. So, I wonder which season you like best. Is this my PowerPoint up? Yeah. Okay. So, I said I was out in South Korea. In South Korea, the seasons are really clearly defined. So it's like it's winter, all grey and brown. And then suddenly, on like March the 3rd or something, it's spring. overnight it changes, bright green everywhere, and then the summer it's really, really hot, and then again on a specific day it turns into autumn, and it's like overnight all the leaves change colour, and then again in spring fantastic blossoms appear, all apparently on the same day. It's very remarkable. Of course in the Arctic they don't have seasons really at all, because the sun never sets. And in Australia, I mean, really, Christmas on the beach, it's just so wrong. It's wrong, isn't it? It's wrong. They can't do that, so I thought I'd put up a couple of daft photographs. But yes, it changes all around the world. But my favourite season is autumn, because it has that certain nostalgic feel to it. And I love the different colours. I do a lot of walking on the hills around here, and you sense that change in the air, don't you? When the sun's a bit softer. And of course the changing colour of the leaves. But the air is different as well. And I do love autumn. But of course with autumn comes harvest. And harvest in the Christian calendar, yes, it's a time when we celebrate the wonderful gifts of nature and the food that we have, and a time to give away to people who aren't so fortunate. But actually in the Christian calendar, harvest is also about judgment. Perhaps you knew that already. We're going to sing a hymn at the end of the service, which has the lines, and you can say these with me if you can remember them. Even so, Lord, quickly come, bring thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified, in thy garner to abide. Come with all thine angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home. Now that's not about produce from the fields. That's about us. That's about God harvesting our souls. So in a few minutes, I want us to do a bit of spiritual gardening together. It's all very private. You can do it on your own. You don't have to get up and jump about. But a little bit of spiritual gardening, a kind of life audit of where you are in the preparation of yourselves for the great harvest when God calls us home. It's like taking stock of where we are, the good and the bad. Because I imagine, like me, you're a mixture of both. You do lots of good things that you're proud of. You've also done some things that perhaps you're less proud of. So celebrate the good things. I don't want to do down on those. Remember the times when you've done something that's just plain right. You got something right. You made the right decision. Think of the times when you've loved purely for the sake of love of someone else, not seeking any benefit for yourself. Think of a time when you've forgiven someone, really forgiven deep in your heart, a hard forgiveness that you had to fight for. Think of that. Think of the good attitudes you've nurtured in yourselves, lack of prejudice, positive thinking towards others, welcoming the stranger. Think of the lovely things you filled your minds with, your souls and your hearts, music and poetry, literature and art. Think of the times when you've prayed sincerely on your knees, weeping with loathing, as the hymn has it, for something that you wanted forgiveness for from God, something that was really sincere and real. And think of the times when you've done something selfless for others, when only God sees what you've done. And then, on the other side of that, think of the times when you've done something wrong. Anyone confess to doing something wrong in their lives? Well, we have. Think of a time when something went wrong, when you made the wrong call. That's happened to all of us. Think of the times when you've loved rather selfishly because you were seeking your own benefit. Think of those things you haven't forgiven, those grudges that you hold on to. Think of your bad attitudes that we all have, prejudice, judgmental. Think of the things that you've filled your mind with which aren't so wholesome, with bitter thoughts and hatred. Think of the times when your prayer has been light and a bit meaningless. Think of the times when you've done something purely out of selfish desire. So now is a time, I think, in the time of the year when it's right to reflect, right to take stock, right to do that audit, so that we can prepare our soil correctly as we prepare to give ourselves as a harvest offering to God when he calls us home. I bet there's some good gardeners in this room. And all good gardeners would tell you that it's all about the preparation of the soil. My brother is a fantastic gardener. He's a Methodist minister. He was president of a conference a few years ago. But when he goes to a manse, he leaves that manse garden as a fully productive market garden. It's incredible what he does. He can grow anything. He looks at a tomato plant and it starts producing tomatoes. But he works really hard at it. He understands the soil, prepares his soil. Does anyone here grow carrots? I'm terrible at carrots. I've tried. But they come out, I don't get all the stones out of the soil, so they come out gnarled and small and basically inedible. So this year I thought I'd put them in a tray of compost, you know, a deep one, so there was nothing going to stop it from growing down and getting big. I think my biggest carrot was about an inch long. I don't know what I did wrong. I'm just not very good at them. However, let me show you. This is a success story from last year. Look at that. And the thing is, I didn't even notice it growing because pumpkin plants have big leaves, and I was growing some courgettes and things. I lifted up the leaf, and there was this huge pumpkin. I was so proud. So this year, I thought, I'm not going to just grow any old pumpkin. I'm going to grow a giant pumpkin. And in my mind, I was there at the treacle market in Macclesfield with my own stall of giant pumpkins and everyone walking by admiringly of how big they were. And anyway, I planted them right in the greenhouse. I put them out in the garden. And yes, I'm afraid that's it. I don't know what I did wrong, but something went wrong. And my pumpkin, I'm not even going to offer that to the Lord. I'm going to put it back in my bag. So, yes, I get it wrong. I don't prepare my soil very well. So that's what I want to think about now, is preparing our soil together as we do this little bit of spiritual gardening. And I want you to think about the good things that you've done, that you're proud of, that we'll be rushing to show God, saying, look how wonderful this is, I'm so proud of this. And also something that perhaps you want to change, something that's not so good. And we're going to do that in a moment of silence. But just to get you started, I was going to tell you something about something I'm really, really proud of and something I'm less proud of. I had to think very carefully before thinking what I was going to tell you. But in 2018, I ran the London Marathon. And this was just like such a good thing to do. There's nothing bad about it. I ran the whole way. I didn't walk like some of the slackers. Ollie, who was about six at the time, thought I was going to actually be pushing Mo Farah. I think Mo Farah had finished by the time I'd actually started by the back of the queue. And it was nuts. I mean, it was what a lovely day. People are so generous and kind of calling out your name. I had my name on me. I was running for the Larsh community. I raised 3,000 quid. I was just so proud of myself. And I don't know why I bought you this, but that's the shirt. I haven't washed it. and I got my medal. Oh, look at that. Proper medal. And anyway, it was just a glorious day. But some people did it. It was the hottest marathon that there'd ever been. And some people were running it in full animal costumes. I was running next to this guy dressed as a badger. And there were six guys carrying a car. Crazy. The things people do. Anyway, I got round, and I am very, very proud of this. This, however, was not the finest moment in my life. Now, there are two Englishmen. One, the epitome of fitness, not an ounce of extra flesh on him, a legend in his own lifetime. The other is Jonathan Edwards. And we were out in South Africa together, the triple jumper, remember? Yeah, triple jumper. We were out in South Africa together making songs of praise, and we were collecting stories like we did. We did the hymns in Johannesburg Cathedral, and then we went and found different people to interview. And we came across, with the researcher's help, that's Lisa, the researcher there, this fabulous woman, Winnie Mabezo. Now, she used to feed 100 orphans, AIDS orphans, at her poor house every day for lunch. I don't know where she found the food. She had no money. And she produced this big vat of nourishing soup. And she fed the children. We interviewed her. She did a fabulous interview. I went away, didn't think about her again. Didn't think about her. I made the program, went out, all well and good. Lisa, meanwhile, spotted something here that I completely missed, that she could actually do something to help Winnie. And Lisa stayed in touch with her, and she went out to visit her, and she organized fundraising. And then a bit later, when Winnie died, Lisa went out and she said, I'm going to continue her work. And she set up the Winnie Mabezo Foundation. which is wonderful. Feeds AIDS orphans, she's got lots of celebrities involved, and she's got an MBE for her work. What did I do? Nothing at all. I came back and made a program. Lisa went and made a real difference. So my failing here is just that, not having the vision to see what I could do. And I'm bad like that. I miss things. So we're going to spend a little bit of time in silence now. And I want you to think about something you're really proud of and something that you might wish to change. And after about a minute or so, I will start prompting you with some thoughts of my own that I've had about ways in which I might like to change too. So just in quiet, on your own, eyes closed if you like, and just think about your own, the harvest that you're preparing of your soul for God, and what you're proud of, and perhaps something you're less proud of. So, is there time for a change? Is there time to forgive someone? Is it time to let a bad memory go? Is it time to examine a repeated pattern of behaviour that you've only just realised is holding you back? Is it time to stop doing something that you know is wrong? Is it time to practice greater love? Maybe love for someone who is not easy to love. Is it time to start following the teaching of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel to visit the sick, the lonely, and those in prison? Is it time to recognize an opportunity to help? Is it time to see that you do have something to offer? It may just be your time, listening skills, money, resources. Is it time to start offering your car to give lifts to people? Is it time to open up your home to others? To use a kitchen to prepare food for others? Or is it time to pray every day for those in need, to be in Jesus's company, praying for his world? Is it time to learn to love yourself more and forgive yourself for things that are long gone? Is it time to start being more honest about yourself and more honest with others? To be more accepting of yourself and more accepting of others? What are the fruits that you have that you can't wait to bring to God because you're so proud of them? And what are the bad fruits that you nurture that you would rather he didn't see? In your minds, bring them now to God's altar as your harvest offering, the good and the bad, and let him rejoice with you the good things, and let him heal and forgive the bad. If you'd join me back in the room now, I want to just emphasize that harvest is a time of judgment, but we don't worship a God that is a punishing God, I don't believe. I do a lot of work with interfaith groups. I do a leadership program at St. George's Windsor with Christians and Muslims particularly. That was one of my home groups there. And I often use the opportunity when we get together and we study each other's scriptures in an activity called scriptural reasoning, which I wrote about in Connection magazine not so long ago, where you read each other's scriptures. And I'm always fascinated to find out what it is about Christianity that is unique compared to the other faiths. Because our Jewish friends also talk about God's mercy, you know, God creating the world. Our Muslim friends very much believe that, you do bad things and God will look, you know, crossly at you, though he is merciful. The thing they don't have, apart from a risen saviour, which is key, obviously, but that's for another time of the year, the thing they don't have is grace. That's the thing that's missing from other faiths. And I don't want to do them down because there's lots of good things about their faiths too. But they don't have a sense of grace, unmerited, unwarranted blessing that we don't deserve. That is something that is unique to Christianity. We don't earn God's favour by what we do. We accept God's grace by recognising that we'd be lost without it. So I don't want to be all blood and thunder teaching about harvest and judgment today, because it's not like that for us. It's important to do an audit every now and again and to think what's going on and what's in your offering to God of your life. But in the end, we are Christians, and we rejoice in the grace of God that is offered freely to us. So let's rejoice with that and with the wonderful harvest produce that we're sharing with others today, celebrating the wonder of nature, and remember that the time of harvest of our lives is not so far away. Amen. We're going to sing another wonderful hymn to celebrate God's love and mercy for us. Great is thy faithfulness. So to our prayers of intercession, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your broken world. We pray for where there is war and terrible suffering. We pray for the hateful, hurtful, damaging relations between certain countries, especially we think of Ukraine and Syria and Yemen, places where there's so much conflict. We pray for the aid agencies bringing comfort and provisions to those who need them so badly. But mostly, Father, we pray for the leaders who have made such terrible decisions, driven by their greed and lust for power. Heavenly Father, please be with those who are suffering. Influence the mind of those people who can make the big decisions. May the world come a bit closer to what it should be. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for your church throughout the world. May it be a beacon of hope. May it speak truth to power. May it be fearless in addressing hypocrisy. May it be brave enough to risk its life as Jesus did, by making a difference, by bringing about your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for all those in our country who are suffering so much at the moment. The cost of living crisis has affected so many people, made so many people really desperate. You came to bring good news to the poor. May we be good news to the poor, seeking to rectify injustice, ensuring a fairer spread of the resources that you've given to us, so that all may have enough, none may go hungry, and we may move towards a more cohesive society that looks out for each other, cares for each other. We pray for our politicians that they may make the right decisions with integrity, honesty, and fairness as their driving principles, not seeking to better themselves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for those known to us who are suffering with illness, they're worried about the future, awaiting difficult results from examinations. We pray for those who are lonely, frightened by what lies ahead. May we recognize where there is a need that we can do something about and not shy away from it. Give us strength to be the bearers of good news. So that one day justice may roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves on our own journey towards your harvest home. We pray that we may be able to put down long-held grudges, to forgive ourselves, to forgive others, to be touched by your grace and mercy. We pray all these things in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you can't argue with the last hymn because it's fabulous. Wonderful words and a simply magnificent tune. Shall we sing together, "Come, ye thankful people, come"? We bless all our offerings to those in need. We bless the collection paid in money here or online. And Heavenly Father, may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.